All right. Good morning, Vine Church. Welcome to this awesome Sunday service that we get to have. Thank you so much for those who are in the house, and thank you for those who are watching online, whether live at this moment, later in the week, a month, a year from now, whatever it is. We are excited and thankful that you have found this service and are making the space and the time to be able to worship with us today. And so if I haven't met you before, my name is Alex Hanvey, and I get to be part of the pastoral team here at The Vine. And I am thankful and excited for this opportunity to wrap up our series, What Does the Bible Say About? Now, before we dive into what today's question is, I just want to kind of give a little heads up. If you like taking notes, this service will be for you. If you did not enjoy school and you don't like taking notes, may God have mercy on you today through this service. And I tell you why, because this is one of the most difficult questions I personally have ever had to try and answer from Scripture. And this is something that really and truly you have to dig deep and look into all of the Scriptures to really be able to come to a thoughtful and a comprehensive and a trustworthy answer to the question that we have been asked and that we are answering today. So I hope you're ready. I hope you brought a pen and a paper. And if not, we have the Vine Church app, which is free to download if you don't already have it. And there will be a place in there for you to be able to take all the notes and to also capture all of the Scripture references we're going to walk through today. And I love to move around. As you can see, I haven't really stood still since I started, but I'm probably going to try and stick closely to my notes today. Otherwise, we'll be here, I kid you not, probably till 2 or 3 o'clock, because there's so much to unpack. But I just pray that God will give each and every one of us the ability to hear, to understand, and to see exactly what He wants us to take away from the service and from the message today. So with that, let's go ahead and dive in, and may God get all of the glory through this service today in this message. So the question that was presented that we're going to unpack and find an answer in Scripture for today is, what happens to someone who dies without ever hearing the gospel? Now, for many of us, that might be difficult to understand because we live in this wonderful nation that God has blessed us to be a part of, where the gospel is presented, especially in our region and in our area, often. There's a church on every corner. It's hard to avoid the gospel. It's hard to avoid church and Christianity when you live where we live. But there are so many around the world that this is an occurrence that happens on a daily basis. There are people who die that never truly hear the gospel. And I tried very hard to avoid this question, as we had a list of questions that we were picking and choosing from for this series. And I tried really hard to run from this one. Excuse me, sorry, I had a hair in my mouth. Because it is not a simple answer. And I didn't have the answer right off of the top of my head. I had what I thought the answer would be, but it took studying and understanding and listening to thoughtful explanations and thoughtful teachings from Scripture to really and truly come to the answer that we have today. And this is a difficult question because we don't like the idea or thought of injustice. And so we don't want to see someone face something that we feel like or think that they don't deserve. But that's where we need to start today. Is in order to truly come to the answer for this question, we have to ask ourselves several questions. But the two main questions we're going to start with and help to lay the foundation today, we'll unpack here in a minute. But there really are two categories, or two main categories. There's actually a couple of extra, but we're going to talk about the two main categories that usually fall under the umbrella of this question. The first are babies and children who die at a very young age. And really, it's when they die before they reach the age of accountability, which is what it's referred to, where they can fully comprehend and grasp and understand what the Bible is, what the gospel is, who God is, that God exists, who is Jesus, those types of things. And I want to go ahead and address that right now before we even continue on. I fully believe, and I believe that Scripture teaches and leads us to the answer that babies and children who die at a young age before they reach that age of accountability, they die and they go to heaven. Because there is a high priest who has already made a sacrifice for them on their behalf. We know him as Jesus. And then there is another group that falls under this umbrella, which is what we're going to be focusing on through the service today. And those are unreached people groups. People who live in countries or nations that have less than 2% of the population are recognized or proclaimed to be Christians or have ever even heard the gospel at all. So here are a couple of statistics I'm going to throw your way so you kind of understand and can grasp what this looks like today. So in the world, there are over 17,000 classified people groups in the world today that are recognized. And more than 7,000 of those people groups would be considered unreached. Now, that ranges depending on where you get your actual figures and your numbers from. That's going to range from anywhere from 2.4 to 3.2 billion people in the world today that would not have heard the gospel before. So in that, I want you to understand, though, that, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be, but there's still so much work to be done. There is, back in 1900, there was about 54% of the world's population who had never heard the gospel. And today, that number has dipped somewhere around, again, depending on your sources, around 30 to 40% of the world's population who has never heard the gospel. So it is increasing of those who hear the gospel, but yet there's still so many that need to hear it. And the majority of these people live in the areas of Asia and Africa, or where most of these unreached people groups live and exist. And so I told you there were a couple of questions, a lot of questions actually, that we'll ask to kind of uncover and dig into this to find the answer. The first question that we must ask ourselves about answering this question is, what is the gospel? And so for us, we understand the gospel because we live thankfully and exist on this side of the cross. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ is why we have the good news of the gospel, which is what the gospel means. And the word itself is the good news. And if we look to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes it very plainly. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord here is not simply just a term that's just thrown around very loosely, but he is talking about to God, Adonai, Yahweh, the one true God. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can have that hope, and we know this because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that this is even possible. And the second question that we must ask, it really comes to what's the perspective of which we're asking this question, is do you believe that people are inherently good or inherently sinful? Now, this is one that we sometimes want to shy away from because we want to say and we want to believe the goodness of people, and we want to say that, yes, people are good. People are good genuinely, but we know from Scripture that that's not the case. And the Bible tells us that all are born into sin, and none of us are good or righteous, not a single one. And so now we've asked those two questions. Can I get an amen if we're all on the same page so far? All right, awesome. So now we're going to establish some foundational truths from Scripture as we try to unpack this question again. So truth number one, salvation is only through the finished work of Jesus Christ. doesn't come from how good I am, how hard I try, how much I give at church, how many charities I give to. It doesn't matter how many hours or days or weeks I spend at church or serving in the community. There are no alternative routes, no alternative paths, no shortcuts to salvation. As Joel preached and taught us last week, there is only one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And it is only possible that salvation exists and is extended to us because of his life, death, and resurrection. Truth number two, we serve a just, righteous, and good God. I want to just cover some scripture here. And so this is where, if you love taking notes, just jot these verses down as I run through them. But a just God. Acts 17, verse 31 says, "For he has set a day when he would judge the world with justice." A righteous God. Psalm 7, verse 11, "God is a righteous judge." Psalm 11, verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous." A good God. Psalm 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." In Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So we've asked a couple of questions to kind of get our perspective of where we're coming from and how we're tackling this question. And we've laid some foundational truths that come from Scripture, that if you want to get to the right answer, you have to understand what we've unpacked so far. So now the question that we ask is, how does all of mankind, us included, those who live in areas and nations and countries where the gospel is presented on a regular basis, where it is freely taught and preached, as well as those who live in nations or countries where they never hear it their entire life, how does all of mankind come to know about God, and that God exists, and who God truly is? One word from Revelation. And Revelation is the revealing of the truth about God. You see, we no longer live in a time of ignorance when it comes to the gospel, because more than 50% of the entire world's population know about the gospel, or would be classified to know about the gospel. So how is the revelation of who God is shared? Well, there's several ways. A couple that I'm going to name right here are the written word, the scriptures, the Bible, the living word through Jesus Christ himself in his life, his death, and his resurrection, and then through Christians. So in what ways does this happen today so that people hear of who God is? Well, evangelism is one of the biggest and the most important that we are aware of, and that we are all, whether we believe it or not, to an extent, we are all called to evangelize and to share the good news of the gospel with those who need to hear it the most. And so evangelism is us going out and sharing the hope and the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ with other people who don't already know it. And another is through scripture. So somebody may never hear the word taught or preached, or they may ignore it and turn from it, but yet they may find the scriptures in their language and they read it. And then they come to the knowledge of who God is. But what about those that have neither? They've never heard it preached, and they've never heard or read it written in their own language. They don't have a copy of the scriptures. They've never had someone come and actually sit down and tell them the good news that there is hope and there is salvation and there is a God who exists. What do they do? Well, first and foremost, they are not exempt from knowing God, from being aware of God, or even from seeking God. So then how do they come to that knowledge, that awareness, and that understanding? Again, it's through revelation. But it's just not through the scriptures or from the life of Jesus as they understand being taught by the scriptures or from Christians themselves. So what type of revelation allows people who live in countries where there are no Christians to find out that God exists? Two types that we're going to talk about and consider this morning. The first is general revelation. And this is just existence, nature, and creation itself are general revelation. Something that each and every person, no matter where you are, you have access to general revelation, which comes through creation itself. Because we all are part of God's creation. And so this is one of the key ways that people experience and come to an awareness of who God is. And the other part of general revelation are moral values and the conscience that we have inside of us. And then there's special revelation, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But mankind, in its entirety, is without excuse because God's creation simply proclaims his goodness, his existence, and his glory every single day. There is no one who is outside of creation, so therefore, no one is exempt from knowing that God exists. You see, the inside of general revelation, there are two declarations. One is external declarations, and the external would be creation, what we see around us, other people, something outside of ourselves. And if we look to Scripture, Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says this: since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. No, one of the saddest parts about this is that there are people who hear the word of God preached, or they have the privilege to read the word of God in their own language, yet they still choose to say, where is God? Who is God? What is God? Ignoring his creation that is declaring his existence and his glory every single moment of the day, including themselves. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into where? All the earth. Their words where? To the ends of the world. There is no one who does not hear the revelation of God the Creator, because creation is proclaiming his existence and making each and every one of us aware of who he is on a daily basis. And then the second that I told you about, the second declaration, comes internally to us. And that is our moral awareness, our conscience that exists inside of us that guides and leads us to understand and to know right from wrong. And to have an awareness of what is good and what is evil, what is wicked and what is righteous. You see, that doesn't just come by chance. Though that is one of the bigger arguments and favorite arguments of atheists, is that moral awareness and having a conscience is just something that you learn from your day-to-day life, from the community that you live within. But we know and we understand that from the beginning, our Creator set the moral compass that we follow every day for us to understand right from wrong, because we remember and we know that we ourselves are not righteous and we are not good. And if we look to Romans chapter 2, I'm going to read this real quick. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 will help us to understand a little bit about the moral inclinations and the moral guiding that we have inside of us. So verse 16 of Romans chapter 2, or I'm sorry, verse 14 says, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. even though they do not have the law. They do not have the law that was given to the Israelites, to the Jewish nation. These are people outside that do not have God's scripture of this time, of the Old Testament, to follow the law that was handed down to the Israelites. Verse 15 says, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as the gospel declares. So what is it that actually and ultimately condemns someone to hell? What sends someone to hell? We know from Scripture that the wrath of God is against all of mankind, not just a few here and there, not just some who are privileged or unprivileged, but the wrath of God is against all mankind due to sin. Romans 6, verse 23, Paul writes, it is for the wages of sin is death. Oh, but it is beautiful because he doesn't stop there. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So going back to our earlier question, are people good? Inherently good? Are we born good and righteous? The answer is no, because it's not difficult to be bad. It's not hard for us to be sinful. If we look to Jesus' teaching in the famous Sermon on the Mount, he even gives illustrations of how this happens. Matthew 5, verse 21 says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That makes sense, right? Murder is part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. But yet he doesn't just stop there and say that is sin, but rather he goes on in verse 22, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I have thought and I have said a lot worse than you fool to people in my life. And I think every one of us, if we are honest, have probably thought or said something equally as harsh, right? And so it's easy for us to fall into the category of sin and wickedness. But we have hope, as Paul reminded us, from God, a gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we understand that we are not good, but rather we are sinful, broken people in need of a Savior. The sin that started all the way back in the garden in Genesis, we read about through Adam and Eve when they decided to directly and intentionally disobey God. They cursed each and every one of us thereafter with sin in our own lives that we are born into. And though we don't want to believe it, we want to think that people are kind and people are good and the best people when measured to the world, that they are good, they are righteous, and that there is hope for them because they act so kind and just. They're generous and they seem to love others. But it's easy when we measure ourselves by the world's standards to look good, to beat the qualifications that would consider you good by the way of the world. And this is a tough pill to swallow because our own sin nature and our own flesh don't want to admit that we ourselves are sinful and wicked and need saving. We want to believe we're good. The enemy wants you to believe you're good. Why? Because you don't need Jesus then. Then you can reject God. You can reject Jesus. You can throw away the Bible and say, no, I got this on my own. I'll be good and I'll love everybody that I come in contact with and I'll do my best and I will give more money than anybody in the world. But I promise you that will leave you in the same spot, separated from God without Jesus in your life. That's a hard pill for us to swallow. but it's the truth. And when we come to that realization that we need God and we need saving, and we look at the measuring stick, not of the world, but of Jesus, we understand and we realize that we all pale and we all fail to meet those standards in comparison to Christ himself. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Not dirty rags, filthy rags. There is nothing good about your goodness that you try on your own effort. Your best effort is nothing but filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. And Paul again reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let's summarize where we are. The bad news is that we are all separated from God. There is none of us who are good because of sin. Nothing that we had to do to step in this category of sinful, rather we are born into it because of sin. None of us are good. But the good news is that there is hope and salvation from God through the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is hope to be proclaimed and shared with the rest of the world. There is hope that we can hold on to when we are in difficult times of this life. And we can look at it in this way, is that wrath comes upon us because of sin. We didn't choose just to be bad. We are bad just by our sin nature. And wrath comes upon us because of sin. And wrath stays upon someone because of unbelief. See, we enter into this world not knowing who God is, not believing in who God is, but rather we have this unbelief, this lack of awareness. So what does mankind really know? How does man come to the knowledge of God, the Creator? Well, we read it in Romans chapter 1 when we were reading verses 19 through 20. Is that God put it into his creation that his creation would preach the gospel and his existence to those that we are not physically able to reach. So just through creation, man can become aware of who God is, and the morality, the conscience that is inside of us, that is inside of individuals who have never heard someone preach the gospel, they too can have revelation and become aware of who God is. And in Romans chapter 2, when we read through verses 14 and 16, about it is the secrets within our hearts that God has written the law on their hearts. That the judgment that someone faces by their morals that they are aware of, they are judged by their own conscience. And where can we find this general revelation in Scripture? Where can we look to see examples of this? Well, if you think about it, the Old Testament. They didn't understand who Jesus was fully in the Old Testament. Do you think Abraham even knew the name Jesus? Do you think Abel knew of the name Jesus when his brother Cain killed him? Do you think Adam and Eve really knew of the name of Jesus? They knew maybe a sense of what God, their Creator, the one that they followed, the one that they served, they knew what he was going to do. And that there would be hope and a salvation that would be secured through the work of Jesus. But see, in the Old Testament, they didn't know what we know on this side of the cross. And so we can look to the Old Testament of those who put their faith in who? In the Lord, our God, in Yahweh, in Adonai. We can look to Abraham and see his faith that brought him to a point of salvation. We can look at the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5. Go back and read it, and it's the story of a Syrian general named Naaman. who actually comes to the king of Israel looking for healing from a disease that he was facing. And they didn't preach the gospel and the good news and the hope that come through God. Rather, Elijah said to him, hey, go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And so he actually gets upset because he was expecting some miracle and someone to come and perform this miraculous miracle, preaching and teaching and placing their hands on him that he would be healed. So he was angry and he almost didn't go through with it, but he does. And on the 7th time when he dips in the Jordan River, his body is healed. His disease that he had been walking around with and dealing with was gone. And he comes to faith in God. And then he takes some sand from where he was and takes it back home with him to a nation that did not worship God, to a people that were not following our God, the God. He wanted that so that when he went to his time to worship, he could worship God on that soil where God had done something miraculous for him. And we can look to Hebrews chapter 10. There's a list of those from the Old Testament who came to faith in God, who put their hope and their salvation in the Lord our God, who would be secured through the work of Jesus Christ. And so it comes through the general revelation of creation and our conscience. And then it comes through also special revelation. And this is, the scriptures would be considered special revelation because it wasn't something that everybody had access to. It wasn't something that people just made up on their own. Rather, the authors of the Bible were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what God wanted them to put on here. So it was special from the Lord our God. And it's through the general revelation. This is the beauty when you start to connect the dots. How do you get from general to special revelation? It's the general revelation when you have an awareness of who God is, or that God exists, that there is something out there, and you begin to ask questions, to dig, and to seek, that God will begin to reveal himself to an individual. So someone who is in a country where no one is preaching or teaching about God or Jesus, but yet they have this awareness that, okay, I don't feel like I made all of this. There is someone or something greater than me that created all of this, that created me. I feel like the things that are happening around me are not quite right. I want to know more. I have this desire, this sense in me to seek something or someone greater. And the general revelation is that awareness where someone's eyes can be open. They can begin, and God will begin to reveal himself to them. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. See, it's not of our own understanding. It is not of our own ability or our own goodness that we come to a point of salvation. But rather, God reveals himself to everyone. No matter where they are in this world, God is declaring his existence. He is revealing himself to us. So the question is, what happens to someone who dies when they've never heard the gospel preached? The answer is this. Simply, what did they do with the knowledge and the awareness of God that was revealed to them through creation, through their conscience, what God had written already on their heart? God is not trying to hide himself from those in the world, but rather God wants people to come to salvation. We see this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Some try to hurry and say, I wish that Jesus would come back today. I wish that right now he would just call us home so we didn't have to go through what we go through here. Why is God so slow in responding and moving? But listen to the heart of God. He is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God wants people to be saved. And people can respond to general revelation. They might not have a preacher standing on a stage telling them of the good news of the gospel, but they have it through creation in their own conscience. And they can respond to that, and that response, that seeking of God, allows God and then gives the opportunity for God to then reveal himself even more to that individual, because God responds to those who seek him. So God wants people to be saved. People can respond to general and special revelation, and God responds and reveals himself to those who seek him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So it's not just for those in a situation like ourselves in a nation where we are that preaching of the gospel and sharing a Bible with someone is not punishable, but rather God is proclaiming his goodness, his existence through the revelation of creation. The problem comes when people flippantly throw away and they ignore creation and their conscience daily proclaiming and preaching the goodness of God, the one who created them. See, but it's not just people in other countries, because if you go to other countries who are, let's say, less well off than we are, they typically have a stronger and more passionate desire to know who God is, because we live in such a blessed nation that we have become spoiled. We have become lazy, and we have become satisfied with where we are in life, and we feel like, hey, I'll just coast it out from here. But each and every one of us should be hungry and have a desire to know God and to seek God on a daily basis. And I'll leave you with this as we start to wrap up. There is only one way to be saved, and by one name that we find salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Whether you live in this nation or whether you live outside of this country, whether you live somewhere that preaches the gospel every day or somewhere that has never heard a voice proclaiming the good news of the gospel, there is only one whom salvation is secured in, and that is Jesus Christ. The payment for every individual from the Old Testament who followed God, who followed Yahweh. Every sin that they committed, every sin that you and I commit, and every sin that someone in the future will commit, the payment for those sins is only found in Jesus alone. There is no other way, there is no other route or path, there is no other payment that will be made or can be made except that of Jesus on the cross and then the victory of his resurrection from the grave. This is the reason why each and every one of us, you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher to share the good news of the gospel, but we should have a heart to do so in our everyday lives. If we truly say that we follow Jesus and we love the Lord our God, then we should have the same passion and desire to see everyone come to salvation that he has. So what are we doing? Are we doing anything to share Jesus with those around us? John chapter 6, verse 45 says, "Those who hear from the Father will come to Jesus." Are you allowing God to use you to speak to someone in your life today? Even right here in this world, we tend to say, well, someone else will do it. They'll go to church and they'll hear about Jesus by someone else. But what if God is wanting to use you? Because coming to the knowledge of God is what creates this desire to separate ourselves from the sin that we are born into. And that acknowledgement of our filthiness, of our wickedness, and of our sin allows us to then turn from our way to the Lord, our God. Because we are not saved by our own good deeds or efforts, but Matthew 5, verse 20 says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "And be found in him," talking about Jesus, "not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." Righteousness from God that depends on faith. So what can we do? How can we play a part in helping someone around the world in an area that doesn't hear the gospel? How can we be active in doing that? Does that mean that we have to go? If God calls you, trust him. Let him lead you there. But even if God is not calling you to physically be in those places and share the gospel, we can support those who are. Through supporting missionaries or evangelists who are traveling the world, because there are people even in this country, believe it or not, who have never heard the gospel. And guess what? God is bringing them here. Just watch the news. People are coming. Refugees are coming from other countries and other nations who have never had the privilege to hear the gospel preached. And they're coming right here to our front door. You think that's by chance? No, it's because God wants us to be part of sharing the good news and the gospel with those who have never heard it. See, we say we're afraid to go to another country. We're afraid to fly or get on a plane or get on a boat. Well, God said, you know what? I'll bring them to you. Just let me use you. Are you willing to allow God to use you to share the good news of the gospel? And lastly, we can pray for those who are in unreached areas around the world. How difficult is it for us to pray? How hard is it for us to stop for a moment of our day and to pray that God will open the eyes of those who live in countries and nations and areas around the world where the gospel is not proclaimed, where they don't have the scriptures in their language to read? May God open their eyes that creation will preach and will speak to them every day, that they may know he exists and that hope is in him. Evangelism, sharing the gospel, matters, and we can all take part in that. So I want to leave you with these six words. There is work to be done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for each person who is here right now. I thank you for those who are listening online. And dear Lord, I pray that you will work in each and every one of our hearts right now. God, I know that you have worked in my heart in preparing and trying to be ready for this message, to find the answer from your word, Lord. That's not based on feeling, because if it was based on feeling, I would want everyone to be saved. But I know that we all are born into sin, that none of us are righteous, not a single one, that our best efforts on our own are nothing but filthy rags. Dear Lord, no matter where we live in this world, we need Jesus. And our only hope and our only salvation is through him and him alone. Dear Lord, I just pray for those around the world who aren't able to hear this message that we've shared today, and they don't get the opportunity and have the privilege to hear someone preach and speak the good news to them. But God, you knew that that would be the case. And so therefore, your creation alone preaches and declares and proclaims your goodness, your glory, and your majesty. Dear Lord, may you open the eyes of those in countries and areas of the world where creation is the only opportunity they get to experience you. That creation may witness loudly to them. That inwardly they hear a voice. It's your voice that is calling to them. God, open their eyes, open their ears, and open their hearts to place their faith in you, Lord. That they may follow you to the extent that is possible for them every single day for the rest of their life. That they may reject the ways of this world and the things of this world. And dear Lord, I don't just pray that for people in other countries and other nations where the gospel is not present. I pray that for those who are right here in this room today, for those who are watching online. Dear Lord, we have such blessing being in this nation where we can preach the gospel, where we have it in almost every language imaginable. We have so many translations and versions of the scripture. But so often we reject them and they just sit on a shelf. And we ignore them. Dear Lord, may we no longer ignore your voice. May we no longer turn from you. But dear Lord, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive you and exactly what it is you would have for us. If there is anyone in this room right now or anyone listening online and you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, Emmanuel, God who came to be with us. You have never acknowledged your sinfulness and your need for saving, to repent and turn from your way to Him. I'm going to pray a prayer right now that I encourage you and I ask for you to pray with me. Not because it is magical, not because the words mean anything special, but it's what is in your heart and the faith and belief you have in our God, in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, that He is who He says He is, that you need Him. He lived the perfect life. He died the death that you and I deserve, and He rose in victory on the third day, defeating both sin and death. So if that is you and you feel this urge, you feel God pulling you and calling you for the first time to surrender your life to Jesus, to repent and follow Him, pray this prayer with me. And everyone is going to pray together for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to you, Lord. I believe you lived the perfect life. You died my death on the cross. You rose in victory from the grave that I may have life in you and you alone. Help me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you're in this house or you're watching online, I'm going to count to three in just a second. I just want you to simply respond. If you're in the house, raise your hand when I count to three. If you're online, leave us a comment. Send us an email at hello@thevine.tv. Let us know because we want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you and we want to walk with you through this decision and through this faith that you have placed in Jesus Christ. So if that is you and you put your faith in Jesus for the first time today, when I count to three, just respond. One, two, three. Dear Lord, I thank you for everyone who is here. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the opportunity that we get to proclaim the good news to those around the world. But God, even more, I thank you that you knew your creation would have to preach and proclaim your goodness and your glory to others. I thank you that you made a way, not just for us, but for everyone to know you. Dear Lord, may we not take for granted what we have here and in our presence and within our reach that we have the gospel. May we not keep it to ourselves, but may we share it with the world around us. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, go ahead and stand with us to worship. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today here at The Vine. If you're watching online, we hope to see you next Sunday as we kick off a new series called Stranger Stories, where we invite those who are part of The Vine and even those who may be outside of The Vine physically but want to share their testimony and their story of what God has done in their life. We invite you, we encourage you, we challenge you to share your story and your testimony. If you feel a calling today to step outside your comfort zone and to go on mission to proclaim the good news to maybe those who have never heard it, say just surrender to it. Let God lead you. If you're in this country, you're in this room, you're watching online, and you don't feel called to step into a country or a nation where the gospel is not proclaimed, but you feel a sense of supporting and encouraging those who are, I challenge you and say, please do it. Find a missionary, find an evangelist, a ministry that you can give to and support those who are stepping out and sharing the good news of the gospel around the world. And at most, or at least, may you pray for those who don't know Jesus, who don't know God, and don't have the privilege to hear the gospel. May you pray for them today and every day. And may we be reminded of how blessed we are right here and what we have so that we seek God daily ourselves. We thank you. We love you. May God bless you and keep you safe as you leave here. And we hope to see you again next Sunday. Have a great week and God bless you.